Hello and welcome to a TMCNet podcast. My name is Rich Tarani. I am the president and the group editor-in-chief here of TMC and TMCNet. And on this podcast, we've got Thomas Howe, who's with Thomas Howe Consulting. He's the president of the company and the founder as well. And Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to have you on the line. You mind sharing with us where you're at today and how things are?
Yes, I'm actually in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm a native of Boston. I'm on a family vacation. I've come down to visit some family and take in some of the local sites. My brother tells me I'm about a mile from Dolly Parton, and I keep looking, but I haven't found her yet.
That's fantastic. Now, I should mention for the record that today is August the 15th, 2008, and it's a beautiful beautiful day in Connecticut. At least it was earlier. I think it was beginning to get cloudy and rainy now. So how's your weather down there?
Oh, it's just completely gorgeous. This area is called Brentwood, which I think is an exclusive area of Nashville. And what's really amazing about it is I think by law it's sunny. They wouldn't have any other weather here. It's just beautiful, you know.
That's great. I we need some sort of law to make it sunny in Connecticut all the time as well. And there's a Brentwood in California too, right? It seems like a popular name.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. Brentwood is where the rich go.
Exactly.
Right? If you're rich, you have to live in Brentwood, which is one of the reasons I feel so insecure here. But I'll work on it.
That's great. So I wanted to talk with you because as some of the people listening today probably know, you and I were on a panel together recently at the Voice Peering Forum out in San Francisco, and during that particular session, you had so many good points that I thought it would be a fantastic idea to have you come on the line and talk about where communications is going in the future. And I can't think of a better person to explain or give his views on just where things are headed. And one of the areas you're known for is, of course, mashups. And I'd love to delve in first and start there and just talk about what are some of the things you're seeing in the voice mashup space.
Oh, sure. And thank you. You're very kind. So what I'm working on is mashups, as you said, and what I'm seeing is a very large trend, and it's been happening for years, and it's going to happen for years. Nothing happens overnight, of the movement from the traditional telephony application approach, which is everything works on a piece of hardware, usually one piece of hardware, on a proprietary protocol, maybe some proprietary hardware, over to a world where we're running not only open standards and open platforms, but we're running on top of a network, on top of many different pieces of hardware, many different other pieces of software. So one of the terms that I'll borrow from the web world is web as platform. So instead of you're writing to, you know, a particular piece of hardware, you're writing to web services, APIs, etc. We call them mashups. My particular area is in mashups that use voice, which have their own particular kind of neat thing, which I'll tell you about in a second. And so the word voice mashup comes in when you are writing an application that's using the web as the platform, and that in some way it uses voice.
Great. Can you give us some examples of some of the more interesting things you've seen?
Oh, yeah. I'll give you some examples, and the key point is going to be in most of these examples that the applications themselves have nothing to do with voice. They're applications that stand on their own, that are solving problems which are not voice applications. But what we try to do is we try to use voice to solve other applications better. So, for instance, I'll give you a great example, and it's one that that most of us now are experiencing at some point. Which is the delivery application where I'm going to deliver a washing machine, a FedEx package, whatever, and the night before our package arrives, we get a phone call saying, hey, there's a package arriving tomorrow, please be there. Okay. Now, that's being rolled out by UPS and And it's not uncommon now for the forward-thinking logistics companies to do that, and for a very particular reason. They want people to be there and reduce their truck rolls. And the way it happens is there are a number of companies that provide web services APIs that you can use to call on your software, and it will, you'll create this little phone call to you that says, hey, we're coming tomorrow, so be there. The application itself isn't a voice application. It's actually a delivery application. And what they're using is web services to create and initiate that. They're not using dialogic cards. They're not using plugs in hardware. They're using web services call. The people who are doing it have nothing to do with voice. They couldn't tell SIP from 323. They could care less. But they're using voice. And so that's a great example of what a voice mashup would be.
Now, how widespread do you see the market right now, and where do you see it going?
Well, that's a great question. So of course I see it going everywhere because people like me do, and whether or not we're right or not, time will tell. But what we're seeing is tremendous growth in companies like IfByPhone and Jaduka, and obviously Rivet was just purchased, and this is a major part of their strategy. And most carriers today are at least investigating what their APIs should be. A few of them, like BT, Orange, and Vodafone, have announced there are another big ones coming, which I know about. So it's going to become a very common thing. And if you just step back from a second from the technology and understand, the insane, just really insane cost savings that you can get and increases in quality you can achieve by integrating voice into applications, it's really easy to see, just like voice over IP, you know what, this is going to be something that everyone's just going to do because it makes so much sense to do it. The only question is, how long does it take to get there? And, it's a big world. These things don't happen overnight. The other thing I'll add to it is it really is part of a much larger situation. This isn't happening in a vacuum. There are companies in the larger world of computing like JackBee and Serena and of course the BEAs and the SAPs are doing it as well. What they're doing is they're integrating businesses together using web services APIs to do things like manufacturing just-in-time deliveries. Let's say I'm a producer of toothpaste and I supply Johnson & Johnson to their supply chain. Johnson & Johnson will employ a company like Mashery to make an API so that I can find out Johnson & Johnson's inventory levels so I can affect my production. And this is the ways in which companies in the next century have partnerships. They connect up their business systems using APIs to each other. So this is where we're going. It'll take a while, but we're going there.
How does XML factor into this?
Well, that's another really interesting part of all this, and understanding which technologies will win and not. And in our little microcosm of telephony, and I say that tongue in cheek because telephony is the second largest industry in the globe, I believe. In our small place, it's hard to. There are a number of competing standards and protocols, et cetera. And one big one is called SOAP, and SOAP stands for Simple Object Access Protocol. And every time you say SOAP, all the engineers snicker because it's anything but simple. And there's a competing standard called REST, called Representational State Transfer, and that's a webby kind of world. They both use XML to post results and get it back. The difference is that SOAP was really built for the enterprise and REST was built for the web. And there's a bunch of great guys who are looking at who's going to win in that war. And apparently REST is going to be the winner because it's just so much easier. And maybe like between SIP and 323, that the biggest reasons why SIP won over 323 was ease and it scaled better. Maybe the reason that REST will win over SOAP because it's easier and scales better.
And there's an API that standard that Google's come out with as well, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. My friend John Musser at Programmable Web has a complete listing of all the APIs that exist, and they're There's something like 800 at this point, and Google has a good long list of them. And what's amazing to me about Google's API efforts is some of the ones that you would expect to see are there, like Search. Search has a custom API, and there's Google Calendar, and the APIs for a bunch of theirs. But they're also starting to get into what I call the second-order APIs, things that you say, well, gosh, I wouldn't have an API for that until you realize that it's a big market. For instance, medical data. Google has a medical data API that allows you to transfer medical records between healthcare organizations. It's HIPAA-qualified. It's in a HIPAA-qualified colo, and that allows healthcare providers to swap information. And we, in this very horizontal world of telephony, can say, well, how big can that market be? Well, I'll tell you, it's huge. It's a very big market. So, there are lots of APIs out there for anywhere from social networking to picture sharing to what time is it to what does this word mean. They're dictionary APIs. The way that we sew together applications now is really based on the API. And telephony is lagging that market a bit. But because telephony has that great aspect that we still charge for the privilege of talking to each other, it's very interesting to a lot of big players.
And so that would explain, obviously, what happened with British Telecom and Ribbit, right?
Oh, yeah. For me, that was so – it was completely great play by BT. They didn't overpay. It was exactly for that reason. If you were just to step back for a second and think of what it's like to be British Telecom, you're a company that has 1,000 or so companies of large size. And I mean, HSBC, Barclays, you've got the national governments, you've got the regional governments, you've got the British Air. You have a very long list of big companies that have long, entrenched, and entangled relationships with you. And if you realize that all these companies can look at what's called CEBP, Communications Enhanced Business Process, and say, I really do want to call the night before I deliver a package because it reduces my costs, you understand that if you as BT don't provide that facility, they're going to go someplace eventually that will. So what BT said was, okay, we know we have this problem, but there's another problem, which is there are only, 1,000 people in the world who actually do this kind of junk. How do I deal with this? Ribbit has a really nice tool set that uses high-level web technologies like Flex and Flash that no one else had that not only allowed them to provide this API to their critical customers, but also provide them with a workforce that could do it for them. So it's just a brilliant, brilliant shot.
And what do you think about, this is more of a cultural question, and you may not have the answer, but just, you've got a large telco that traditionally is the old guard of telecom, and then you've got this new Silicon Valley. I mean, Ribbit built themselves as what, Silicon Valley's first
phone company.
Right. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's kind
right.
of a, you just think about it from a, just from the cultural differences. It's kind of interesting, right?
Oh, yeah. No, my world really is two halves. I spend half my time doing stuff, really actually writing mashups and working on and creating technology. The other half of my life is consulting, talking about it, teaching, and helping the companies understand it. And for that reason, I have a number of large companies whom I work with really as a counselor to say, hey, listen, yeah, this is really why you'd want to do it. And here's the critical thing. It is a culture issue, but the fact of the matter is many, many carriers are living in worlds where their ARPUs are falling, their margins are falling, the world is rushing to mobile. There are very few opportunities they have in the traditional voice world that provide the same sort of margin, stickiness, growth potential of business process optimization, or CEBP, with voice. And so they go, you know what? There are groups in every carrier that realize that the fat margins are here, they will be here for a long time, and they're helping to change the culture. But boy, it's tough. It's tough.
And so what do you think is going to happen with other service providers worldwide?
Well, I think they're going to follow suit. And I think what will happen is that nearly all major carriers at some point will have APIs. Many of them have, again, many I know many are actually looking at it. A few have announced theirs. And then you'll also see the large system integrators, Accenture, Capgemini, HP, EDS, et cetera, provide expert consulting groups that would provide the manpower to integrate these together, and it will become part of the normal business process. And what will happen is I sort of like make the analogy between farmers and cooks. Today in the voice world, many of us are farmers. We make applications. We make voice applications because it takes a lot. I mean, I've been doing this for, gosh, 20 years, which is really sad if I think about it for a minute. But I was doing a training class a few months ago to one of my customers, which is Perot Systems in Texas. It's a great group of people. I love them to death. Doing a CEBP project, and I was explaining something, and I lost them really, really, really quick, because, you know, the world of telephony is old and it's arcane and it's there's so many acronyms. It's just incredible. Right. So.
I tend to agree with you on that point about the acronyms being incredible. There seems like there's 10 new ones every day. It seems like
it's completely nutty. So, but what's the great part about web services and the great part about this approach is very simply, it allows somebody who has never ever used voice to make a web services call and initiate a call. Right. These guys don't have to know anything about SIP to make a meet me call. There's a web service call. Just do it. So it turns people from being farmers, people who make it, into cooks. They say, okay, I'm going to blend these things together. I'll take some voice. I'll take some data. I'll take some web stuff. I'll take my domain knowledge about what it takes to deliver a package, and I'll make a really great application. And for them, voice is just this little thing on the side. It's not the main application. And that's the future, I'm sure of it.
And so we would imagine also that, I mean, it'll get easier then, right, to program. And we're talking about object-oriented interfaces and graphical drag and drop and things like that.
Yeah, it really does. It becomes much easier. It becomes much easier and much quicker. It's almost this tornado of web development. It's the real key is, and I don't want to get too overly technical, but one of the things that I think some of the early guys found out quick is that what really makes phones hard, other than the arcane nature of what we do, is call state and holding call state and being able to do things with call state. What makes PBXs really hard is that they tend to get in the middle of calls and keep the call and have to figure out where the call should go. But when you look at voice as applied to other applications, or real-time communications like SMS, it turns out that most of the time you don't have to keep call state. And therefore, to teach someone to program it is quite simple. So only the hardest problems, like contact centers and conferencing, et cetera, require the heavy-duty telephony engineer. And as it turns out, even though they're big applications for us, they're only 4 of the possible 10,000 applications that need to be written.
So tell me, in your opinion, what do you think the next generation APIs are going to look like?
Well, yeah, that's actually what I'm working on most these days, and the term that that I've been working on has been proselytized and supported by a group called STL out in England, and Martin Gates is their chief analyst, who I'm just become a real fan of. I think he's doing some fantastic work. Are APIs that support what he's calling a two-sided business model. And the point behind his analyst firm and what they're doing is to figure out how carriers make money in an all-IP world. You know, right now, the carriers make money by monetizing a scarce resource, either it's bandwidth or it's phone calls or whatever it happens to be. But when everything's over IP, how do you make money? And one of the ideas they're working with are these two-sided business models where the carriers not only collect money from one side of a service but from both sides. And so let me give you a quick example of that. Imagine 411 service. You call 411 right now, and the person who's calling 411 pays the carrier for the information. In a two-sided model, not only would the carrier collect money from the person asking for information, he would also go to the other side and ask money of the businesses to which they're giving the information about to add some into into higher into the rankings. So if someone's calling, I need, you know, to Domino's Pizza in Brentwood, Tennessee, the carrier would say, okay, fine. And when they give me the information, would say, you know, we're having a special on Papagino's Pizza, not Domino's. If you want to call them, I'll give you $1 off. And Domino's will pay the carrier for that privilege. Right? So they collect from both sides of the equation. And those two-sided models, those two-sided sorts of applications are the things that I'm working on in the communication sense. And I'll give you an example of one of them, and that would be the voice version of let's find a time where we can talk. So I know that I have a appointment I want to set up with you, and you're in the general population. I'll have a web service call that will that I can call that will make a phone call come to you and say, hey, Tom wants to meet with you. He's free on these days. When are you free? Figure out when we can both meet, and then mark it in my Google Calendar. And the carrier could charge not only the business for that privilege, but might charge me for keeping their calendar. So they charge not only the subscriber for the calendar, but they also charge the business who wants to coordinate the time. And so there's a number of, you know, services like that are next generation, their logistics or human being centered stuff that I'm working on, which is really the next generation past click to call, past SMS, past, you know, all that stuff.
Do you think that there's a concern that a lot of the things that you're talking about are being given away by some of the new web companies, and it's going to be tough for service providers to make money in that kind of environment?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know why? Yeah. There's a concern, but the concern is really centered. It's a concern, but I think the reason they're so worried is because they've only viewed one way of providing value. And so when we say it's easy, we say, well, someone else can write the same application. Why can't you just write that application? And why do I have to pay the carrier for it? Anyone can do it. Well, as we've learned from some of the Web 2.0 principles, that not only is functionality, you can monetize that, but you can also monetize data. Right? Hard to replicate data is something that you can has real enduring value. You know, the fact of the matter is, my real social network isn't my Facebook profile; it's my CDRs, who I really interact with on a day-to-day basis, where I really go in my life, where I drive, who I frequent, who I shop. All these things are hard to replicate pieces of information that the carriers uniquely have access to, and me as a consumer may want them to be able to use it. I mean, there's lots of good reasons why I want that kind of data to be used. So, you know, instead of just thinking about functionality as being, you know, commoditized, we should also be thinking about the data that people can collect through the use of that functionality. That's very difficult to reproduce, and that's the kind of stuff I think carriers will be monetizing more and more in the future.
Are there any examples now of this beginning, or are you allowed to talk about anything like that?
There are, and of course some of the stuff I can talk to you about, but what I can say is I think it's just wonderful to see the iPhone store and their applications and how hardly any of them have anything to do with telephony. I think that's a wonderful thing. I think Wear.com, their Wear application, and having it give you context-sensitive information about where's the nearest gas station, or do I have friends nearby, or give me directions to there, is a wonderful example of using information which I only have, which is my location, to drive real value for me as an application user. And that's only one thing. You know, we've talked a lot about, you know, location, but there's other things as well, and they're coming. And if you want the ultimate example of that monetization in the larger telephony world, in the larger world other than telephony, go to Google. Google's main mission in life is to collect as much information about you as possible, such that they can provide you information which is relevant and then monetize that for the people who want to deliver it to you. It is the ultimate play for that, and it's a good play because I like getting relevant results. I do like getting relevant ads. We all do. We just don't like it when they're irrelevant. And so there's lots of examples in the wider world, in the telephony world, they're coming.
Fantastic. I can't wait to see them. And will we see more of them in the mobile world than the non-mobile world, or does it not matter?
Yeah, you know, there's lots of people who really believe that the whole world is going to be mobile. I mean, there's if you're going to be in telephony, just assume that everything converges to mobile and everything else won't really matter. And I think that's not a bad thumbnail sketch. You know, I'll never pretend to be a mobile guy. I'm not really. In fact, I'm not quite sure what I am anymore. But for me, it's a great rule of thumb. We're converging to mobile, and everything else is probably not as important or irrelevant. Or if it is, I need to study more on it.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean, we'll see in the end whether enterprises feel 100% comfortable. But I guess in a world where they've got multiple mobile networks and redundancy, why not, right?
The tide has changed. I mean, it used to be that the technologies would come from the enterprise into the population. But that world really has changed where you're seeing the people, the employees, the people who are involved day to day, they're starting to pour their technology back into the enterprise. See, it's really that it's coming. It's coming over the walls now. And so, if you're a CIO, and a lot of the work I do is in business process, so I work with enterprise and CIOs quite a bit. They're really trying to keep it at bay. It's one of these things. Eventually, it gets there. We all knew that once voice over IP was invented, that it was going to be a matter of time before we had multiple access to our devices, either over the internet, wireless, whatever it happened to be, because the hold was broken on wires. And it's kind of the same way with applications and technology, it's coming over the side. You got to deal with it, and eventually it'll go. So
that makes a lot of sense. So if you had to just give conceptually an overview of where we're going, what would you say in terms of just communications and technology? I mean, what's your read on where the whole market's going?
Yeah, my grand analogy, which I hope I don't overuse, is that a voice is going to become a lot less important, a lot smaller, but it's going to be mashed out everywhere. You'll see voice apply to tens of thousands of applications. But the vast majority of places you'll find it won't be a voice application. So the way communications is going, it's going to be like salt or spice in food. It's going to be something small that'll make it better, but it's not going to be the main actor anymore. And I think as a voice guy, that might be a little sad, but also it's kind of exciting because it allows us to see much wider worlds of technology and economies and industries. It's going to be great.
So really, it's going to be instead of communications enabled, like business processes, it's communications enabled life, I guess, is kind of where we're going.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, and it won't be a big deal. You know, it used to be a big deal to get paper and a pen and write on it. Now it's not a big deal. It's just what happens. Phones used to be hard. They used to be very difficult. They're not difficult anymore. The only problem is that we still think they're difficult. And then once we figure out they're not so difficult anymore, then, you'll see them explode and we'll turn our attentions to using them in different ways.
And when will this transition
happen? It's happening. It really is happening. If you just look at programmable web and there are 800 APIs available on the web, 60 of them are voice or text messaging. You know, just consider it. 10 years ago, maybe less than that, if you had to write an SMS application, how much did it cost? I mean, how many millions and months and years and regulatories and all this kind of stuff? Today, I can go with my credit card and call Clickatel and be up and running in 25 minutes for $10.
Amazing, huh?
It's amazing.
Yeah, truly, truly amazing. Well, Thomas, it's been fantastic speaking with you as always, and looking forward to catching up with you in person. And thanks for being on this podcast with me. Again, we've been speaking with Thomas Howell, who is the president of Thomas Howell Consulting. And if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do so?
Yeah, my website is thomashowell.com, and I'll be speaking at your show in September, and I'll be tromping around your show floor, so love to see you. Drop me a note, it'll be great.
And that's Internet Telephony Conference and Expo, September 16th through 18th, 2008, in the L.A. Convention Center. And just so people know, it's thomas, howell.com for your
website. That's it.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks. And you You've been listening to a TMCNet podcast. Today's the 15th of August, 2008, and my name is Rich Tarani, and if you want more information about me, go to tarani.com. And Thomas, as always, it's been a pleasure, and thanks for being a guest on the podcast today.
Well, thank you for having me.